Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Good news. Guess what? Our military isn't packed with violent extremists. That's the gist of a new report commissioned by the Pentagon in 2021 and released quietly with little notice in December. The result won't surprise Americans who've spent time in uniform, but it should calm the media frenzy about the right-wing radicals in the armed forces. After reports that some service members participated in the January 6th riot, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin ordered an independent study to get greater fidelity on extremism in the ranks. The think tank tasked for the report, the Institute for Defense Analysis, quote, found no evidence that the number of violent extremists in the military is disproportionate, end quote, to the U.S. society. A review of the Pentagon data suggested, quote, fewer than 100 substantiated cases per year of extremist activities by members of the military in recent years, end quote. I wonder how many of these extremist cases are members of Black Lives Matters or other left-wing groups known for their violence. We'll see. Joining me to 50 caliber microphone today is Coast Guard vet Roland Ashby, covering for Skip again. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to talk about the great threat of China. Then Roland will contribute his warrant wisdom. Russ Duerstein from Concerned Veterans for America will discuss their top goals for this year, taking care of veterans in our nation. And as we approach Martin Luther King Day, Andre Archer will discuss racism in our nation and our military. And Gil and Skip will discuss our border and a book.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And we'd really appreciate it if you'd go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel of Frontlines of Freedom. But first, I got to share a joke. I've heard this joke many times as different services pick on each other. So in this case, a Marine and a sailor used a public restroom, but only the sailor washed his hands. When the sailor asked the Marine, "Didn't they teach you to wash your hands in the Marines after using a public restroom?" The Marine answered, "Don't they teach you not to pee on your hands in the Navy?" Now the news. What's first, Roland?
Well, earlier this month, our military conducted an airstrike in Baghdad that killed the leader of a Iranian-backed militia in a rare move that comes amidst rising tensions and violence in the region. Mushtaq Jawad Qasim al-Jawari, also known as Abu Taqwa, who was a leader in the Harakat al-Najwa group, was killed. Abu Taqwa was actively involved in planning and carrying out attacks against American personnel. The strike also killed one other Harakat member. The strike in the capital city jarred U.S. relations with Iraq, and it's the latest military action in the region as conflict has flared following the start of the Israeli-Hamas war. Iranian-backed militias have launched numerous attacks on bases housing U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria. And Houthi in Yemen have conducted drone and missile attacks on merchant ships in the Red Seas protected by our forces. The Pentagon said that to date, American forces in Iraq and Syria have endured 120 attacks that have injured 74 service members. All but one have returned to duty. In response, we have conducted several airstrikes on various Iranian-backed militia locations in Syria and Iraq. The latest strike in Baghdad appears to be the first to target a specific person or militia leader. The Pentagon stressed that the strike was a matter of self-defense and that the U.S. maintains, quote, the inherent right of self-defense and will take necessary action to protect our personnel.
Now, China and Russia are supporting this terrorism along with Iran. This fighting could escalate to a full war very easily, and we do have to fight back against people that are attacking armed people. We do.
But Lebanon's Hezbollah militia recently fired dozens of rockets at northern Israel, warning that the barrage was an initial response to the targeted killing, presumably by Israel, of a top leader from the allied Hamas group in Lebanon's capital last week. The rocket attack came a day after Hezbollah leader Syed Hassan Nasrallah said that his group must retaliate for the killings of Salah al-Ruli, the deputy political leader of Hamas, in a Hezbollah stronghold south of Beirut. Nasrallah said that if Hezbollah did not strike back, all of Lebanon would be vulnerable to Israeli attack. He appeared to be making his case for response to the Lebanese public, even at the risk of escalating the fighting between Hezbollah and Israel, as the war between Israel and Hamas rages on. Hezbollah said that it launched 62 rockets towards an Israeli air surveillance base on Mount Meron, and that it scored direct hits. The group said rockets also struck two army posts near the border. The Israeli military said about 40 rockets were fired towards Meron and that a base was targeted, but made no mention of the base being hit. It said it struck the Hezbollah cell that fired the rockets.
Isn't it clear that all of the Muslim terrorist groups, not just Hamas, are at war with Israel and have been for decades? The only free nation in the Middle East, Israel, is hated and attacked by the Muslim terrorists and not helped by the more moderate Muslim nations around. This is very clearly a war by everyone against Israel.
Also, Israel's defense minister laid out his vision for the next phase of the war in Gaza, describing how Israeli forces would shift to an apparently scaled-down new combat approach in northern Gaza, while continuing to fight Hamas in the south for as long as necessary. Yoav Gallant also outlined a proposal for how Gaza would be run once Hamas is defeated, with Israel keeping security control while an undefined Israeli-guided Palestinian body runs day-to-day administration, and the U.S. and other countries oversee rebuilding. We have pressed Israel to shift to lower-intensity military operations in Gaza that more precisely targets Hamas after nearly three devastating months of bombardment and ground assaults. The vagueness of many of Gallant's provisions made it difficult to assess how much they mesh with our goals. Gallant's document was titled a, quote, vision for phase three, unquote, of the war, and his office said the phase has not yet begun. Israel's campaign in Gaza has killed more than 22,400 people, a number that includes Hamas terrorists. Israel has vowed to destroy Hamas after its October 7th attack, in which some 1,200 people were killed and 240 were abducted.
Why should Israel tone down this operation at all? They were brutally attacked and are responding as most nations would have throughout history in responding to such attacks. Israel's doing the right thing. They should not slow down.
Well, lastly, China and India scored moon landings, while Russia, Japan, and Israel ended up in the lunar trash heap. Now, two private companies are hustling to get the U.S. back in the game over five decades after the Apollo program was ended. It's part of a NASA-supported effort to kickstart commercial moon deliveries as the space agency focuses on getting astronauts back there. Pittsburgh's Astrobotic Technology is the first, with a planned liftoff of a lander this month aboard a brand new rocket, United Launches Alliance Vulcan. Then in Houston, Intuitive Machines aims to launch a lander in mid-February, hopping a flight with SpaceX. Then there's Japan, which will attempt to land in 2 weeks. The Japanese space agency's lander with two toy-sized rovers had a big head start, sharing a September launch with an X-ray telescope that stayed behind in orbit around the Earth. Landing without wrecking is no easy feat. There's hardly any atmosphere to slow a spacecraft, and parachutes obviously won't work. That means a lander must descend using thrusters while navigating past treacherous cliffs and craters.
I really appreciate this. America is moving forward in a good way. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Please check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some war and wisdom. Then we'll talk with Russ Duerstein from Concerned Veterans for America. At ease, troops, take a break. Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce, so there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 1-800-UCB-GOLD, 1-800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Always keep your guns locked up and safe from unauthorized users, especially your children. Inside your home, you should be able to get to your gun within 5 seconds of sensing danger. To accomplish this, stage a secure and loaded firearm on each level of your home. Above all else, never leave loaded guns unattended where children can gain access. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. China's been our enemy for a long, long time. Their forces fought ours in Korea and supported the North Vietnamese against us in the Vietnam War. But in 1967, during the Vietnam War, Richard Nixon famously wrote, quote, "Taking the long view, we simply cannot afford to leave China forever outside the family of nations, there to nurture its fantasies, cherish its hates, and threaten its neighbors," end quote. Nixon's words are the basis of a half century of American and Western policy. After the Cold War, the West, led by Washington, sought to integrate the People's Republic of China into the post-war international system. Is it now in our interest for China to succeed or fail? We have no choice. We must make it fail. If Communist China succeeds, it will mean the end of our nation and those of our allies. Many, many manufacturing businesses moved from the U.S. to China, where things could be made much cheaper, even after paying the shipping cost to move them back to the United States. Lots of good jobs were lost here so that some businesses could make a few more bucks. This certainly greatly increased China's national economy. Nixon's engagement approach after the Cold War should have worked. The idea was that China's regime, given a stake in the existing system, would like it and then defend it. The strategy was, in many senses, the grandest wager of our time. By now, however, the bet looks like a huge mistake history will remember. For as the Communist Party grew stronger, it did not align itself with Western supporters. On the contrary, it came to believe it could avenge centuries-old grievances and remake the world in its own image. The West's generous approach created the one thing we hoped to avoid: an aggressive state redrawing its borders by force, attacking liberal values around the world, and undermining institutions at the heart of the international system. So what went wrong? Past U.S. policies toward China fundamentally underestimated the hostility, ruthlessness, and will to power of the Chinese Communist Party. Western leaders spent decades convincing themselves that the form of the Chinese government didn't matter. Moreover, Western leaders failed to listen to what the Chinese counterparts had been saying. Throughout this century, Xi Jinping had been following the same vision the Chinese monarchs had, that China should now be considered the world's only sovereign state. Xi's subordinates have been explicitly making that case, and since 2017, they've argued that the moon and Mars should be considered a part of China, even talking about excluding other countries from going to or even near these heavenly bodies. Quote, "China was the center of its own hierarchical and theoretically universal concept of order," noted Henry Kissinger in World Order. Quote, "China considered itself, in a sense, the sole sovereign government of the world," end quote. To China, the emperor was a figure of cosmetic dimensions, the one and only link between human life and the divine, explains Kissinger. Ludicrous? Yes. But China has nonetheless announced its intentions. It will rule the world if it has the means to do so. As Kissinger explained, China's leaders see the world as one because they have trouble working with others. In all of China's extravagant history, he wrote on China, There is no precedent for how to participate in the global order, whether it's in concert with or in opposition to another superpower. Today, China's imperial views mix with the country's communist system, hostility towards others, reinforced by the racism of the regime's Han nationalism, means that China cannot coexist with others in the international system, which, since 1648, has recognized the sovereignty of a multitude of states. Xi Jinping is not an aberration. He exhibits the belligerence of a communist system that idealizes the struggle of domination. He also exhibits the belligerence of a system that is fundamentally insecure. China's system identifies the world's free societies as existential threats, not because of what the societies may say or do, but because of who they are. The Communist Party is worried about the inspirational impact on the Chinese people of the values and the forms of governance of the world's democracies, especially ours. These Chinese views have consequences. The communist regime believes it has the right to do anything it wants, including spreading disease, stealing intellectual property, proliferating nuclear weapons technology, and breaking apart neighbors. If you haven't noticed, China is supporting Iran and the Muslim terrorist groups in the Middle East. As we've discussed before, China owns farmland in over 20 U.S. states. They manufacture much of the medicine we use and a whole lot of other things we need, from farm equipment to machinery. Their health standards are much lower than ours. Might they accidentally or on purpose suddenly poison us? Isn't it clear that now or in the future, this could be a part of their plan? It's not climate change that will likely kill millions of people soon. It's China. We need to get China out of the U.S. and find other sources for the things we get from them. And we need to do it now. Other than surrendering sovereignty and submitting to Chinese rule, there's nothing the West can do to accommodate communist China. China's regime believes it is in a do-or-die struggle with us. And taking the long view, we must win. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby, of course. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, is at it again, working with the civilian sector on new technology. This time, it's with aircraft. They now have four companies designing prototypes of an experimental vertical takeoff and landing military aircraft. And as was reported at the end of the year, the consensus final design, prototyping, building, and demonstration of the vehicles is expected by early 2027. This is all part of DARPA's Speed and Runway Independent Technologies program. And as DARPA seems to do, this time they named it another snazzy acronym, the SPRINT program. The main contenders in this competition include the regulars of Bell Textron, Northrop Grumman, and a subsidiary of Boeing called Aurora Flight Scientists, along with a relatively new player, Pazaki Aircraft. All the companies are working under secured contracts that cover the program's first 6 months, which is considered the conceptual design phase. That will then be followed by DARPA narrowing the field of candidates for the next phase of 12 to 15 months, which involves the preliminary designs. The SPRINT project is a joint DARPA-U.S. Special Operations Command effort that aims to design, build, and fly an X-plane to demonstrate the key technologies and concepts that an aircraft can be both very fast and operate without a runway. The SPRINT X-plane is intended to be a proof-of-concept technology demonstrator, and its flight test program seeks to validate the technologies that can then be scaled to different-sized military aircraft. The goal of the program is to provide these aircrafts with the ability to cruise at speeds of 400 to 450 knots and hover in a difficult environment from an unprepared surface. DARPA is also looking for the mission capability of supporting logistic operations, medical transport, personnel recovery, and evacuation. Now, what I find really interesting is that this vertical takeoff and landing, it's not just a military thing. Today, we have a number of commercial companies fighting to take the lead in urban air transportation, using an electric vehicle that's similar to a helicopter, carrying between 2 and 6 passengers. And the rapid development of drone technology is really helping to spur the development of these aircraft, showing that they can be highly maneuverable and remotely operated. There's even artificial intelligence helping to enable autonomous piloting of these aircraft. Now, the civilian market for these are mainly for air taxis, a cross between a taxi and a plane that can be used for relatively short flights, mostly in urban areas. But you know what? I can see a future where military and civilian technology combine to make air travel and even warfare very different than what we have for today. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, Roland. I also have a mental picture of those air taxis running into each other. Stay tuned. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Russ Durstein from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll talk racism in our nation with Andre Archie. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
There is no doubt veterans sacrifice in service to this country. For decades now, troops have been sent around the globe to fight, putting their lives on the line, but with no clear U.S. interest to protect.
To honor that sacrifice, Concerned Veterans for America is working to end our nation's endless wars. As veterans ourselves, we know a better foreign policy can make our troops and our country safer.
Learn more about how you can help by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome back to the show Air Force veteran Russ Durstein. Russ is the Executive Director of Concerned Veterans for America, an organization that is really focused on taking care of our veterans and our nation. Welcome back, Russ. Glad to have you join us.
Danny, it's always a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me back.
Russ, take a minute and tell us about your time in the Air Force. When and why did you join? What'd you do?
So I had the pleasure of serving during the 80s. 6 years every day, Ronald Reagan was my commander in chief, which I'm very excited about. I, like a lot of guys struggling at that time, I couldn't afford to pay for college. So I went down and was looking for some. I was a computer science guy. And I was able to enlist and become a mainframe computer specialist, and I got a chance to work in NORAD in the 80s. And this was at a time when Reagan was building up our ability to win the Cold War. And so I spent a lot of time working NORAD, became an instructor later on, taught computer maintenance here in West Texas. And it was six wonderful years, and it was the basis of what I used as a trade for decades to come. So it was a great experience for me. My father had served, my grandfather had served, his grandfather had served. So I had the ability to continue that lineage, serving my country and learning a valuable skill all at the same time.
And NORAD is the North American Air Defense Command, was headquartered in Colorado Springs, if I recollect.
Correct. There were seven regions of the country that provided an air picture to the mountain. One in each corner of the United States, East and West Canada, and Alaska. So those seven regions. And I worked the Southeast region out of Tyndall Air Force Base, Panama City, Florida. So we got to look at Cuba. We would track the Russian bears as they flew across the Atlantic. We'd pick them up around Virginia, track them into Cuba. They'd turn around, fly back a few days later. Then, of course, the Cubans real good about buzzing their MiGs all around our air defense capabilities along the coast. So when you're a young airman, a young buck sergeant, that's a heck of a fun job.
Yeah. I mean, goodness, why would you want to sit and watch nothing?
Right. Right.
Okay. How did you get involved with Concerned Veterans for America? How'd that happen?
Yeah. So as I was a defense contractor, I saw how the military was working. I loved it. But I noticed, in 93, Clinton becomes president. And I lived in the part of the country where conservative Democrats were still compromising their values and supporting stuff that I couldn't support. And so I was really in a position where I was trying to help volunteer grassroots politics and convert Texas to a red state so that people were, you know, actually getting what they were voting for. And so I got into grassroots politics in 94. Ran for office and failed, I was a consultant, consulted on many races, kept working my way up the system. And then finally, I was working like lieutenant governor races, Senate races in Texas. And I was, you know, that's a hard job. And I was just about getting ready to say, hey, look, I need to look at something else. And somebody that I admired that I'd worked for in a lieutenant governor's race, Cody McGregor, if he's out there, shout out to Cody. He reached out to me. He was the new Concerned Veterans for America state director for Texas. And he was like, Russ, I know how much you love veterans. I know you work out at the base. I know all these things are important to you. Would you consider coming to work for us? And when he told me about getting veterans back involved in serving America and fighting for liberty and freedom all over again, I just couldn't say no. So it's the best of both worlds, grassroots politics, and I'm surrounded by my veteran family every day. It's awesome.
Well, that sounds awesome because there's so much that needs to be done. And the challenge is, I know a lot of people, I taught American government in the college for 15 years. Okay, we know we need to get it, but how? What do we do? And having someplace like Concerned Veterans America, can, which if you'll plug into them, and you don't have to be a veteran to plug in, do you?
That's correct. A good chunk of our volunteers are just patriotic Americans that admire what veterans do, and they come out to support us.
You know, so here's a place you can plug in. They know what to do. They know how to do it. You just have to do it. And I can't not be supportive of Concerned Veterans for America. Nobody's perfect, but wow, do I like the focus. Your role now at Concerned Veterans for America is you're the executive director. Does that mean you basically run things? And if so, what's the mission?
Yeah, yes, sir. So I started off as a field director. I was promoted to the state director for CVA in Texas and then joined the headquarters group about 4 years ago. You know, our main mission really focuses on addressing America's strength and obviously fighting for the values, the, you know, the liberty, prosperity that we fought for when we were in uniform. And our mission this year is similar to what we've been doing the last few. When you look at some of the things that really are deteriorating America's strength, one of the top ones is look at our enlistment rates. It reminds me, Denny, you and I were talking about what it was like in the late 70s. Our enlistment rates have dropped off dramatically. It looks like post-Vietnam Jimmy Carter era all over again, which is, that's, you know, for the first time in the all-volunteer force, it's looking kind of scary. And one of the number one things I look at is the broken promises we've made to our veterans. When you look at the incredible long lines that veterans have to wait for in getting health care, the lack of choice they have, even though we've passed a law, the Mission Act and VA accountability to make sure the VA is giving options and choices to veterans so they can, you know, go use their community care services when the VA can't get to them in a timely or a distance manner. They're undercutting that law, and veterans are frustrated. They're having to wait too long to get treatment for cancer or mental health issues, which oftentimes leads to suicide. Well, you have so many young people today that when they're facing the decision, what do we do for their career? Like what I described, what I went through, their veteran parents and grandparents are no longer saying, hey, this is the right option for you. And I think it's a big part of why enlistments are down. I think it's why America's weaker. We can't continue to not deliver on the promises we've made to American veterans.
I agree with you. This is Colonel Denny Gillum for Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Russ Durstein from Concerned Veterans for America. Russ, I think the other reason that enlistments are down is because we have horrible leadership in the uniform side as well as the civilian side of our military. Who'd want to work for somebody who'd do in Afghanistan? Or who would throw people out for not getting a shot. And once they realize that it's not okay, not accept the responsibility and apologize and make things right. I don't see any leadership, uniformed or civilian, in our military.
I think it's why it's so very important who we choose to be our president. Obviously, who gets promoted into those senior general officers is dependent on both Congress and the President of the United States. But you're absolutely right. And I think some of the malaise we saw in the Carter years, some of the things we saw in the Clinton years, kind of led to having wrong leadership in the military. I think whoever we select as our president is going to be very important. We get back to mission focus and not culture focus. The military has a certain culture on purpose to drive discipline, to be able to have order. It's not easy to put your life on the line and go under fire and fight for things when your real training has been about DEI or other silly nonsense. We've got to get a handle on having a better leadership up and down the ranks of the military.
Yeah, if you can shoot better than I can, but I can use pronouns better than you can, you're probably going to win the fight if we get in one. I think that's a fairly safe statement. There's more to discuss about moving our nation in the right direction, and Russ is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's time for push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, some days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government. Call 1-800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Air Force vet Russ Durstein from Concerned Veterans for America. Okay, Russ, what's another one of your focuses for this year?
So we're really concerned about American military strength, foreign policy, and how that plays out. Obviously, we've worked a lot on ending endless wars. My son is... was in boot camp during 9/11. My grandson, all he's known is, his dad at war. My son's near retirement. And if you think about all these years that we've been engaged overseas and overextended, it's really important that America picks conflicts that it can get into, have a clear mission, win them, get out. And so we've worked a lot on that. But one of the things we're really focusing on this year is what are the underlying foundations that lead to some of our foreign policy entanglements? And honestly, it has a lot to do with the economy. America cannot be a military superpower if it's not an economic superpower. We must be energy dominant, or you end up having key adversaries like Iran, Russia, China, who are strengthened from sky-high world oil prices. And the ability to not spend ourselves into bankruptcy. You know, Denny, you and I lived during a time when we won the Cold War, and it wasn't necessarily on the battlefield. It was because the Soviet Union went bankrupt. And America's looking at bankrupting itself. And if that's the case, we'll go the way of the Soviet Union. We won't be able to afford our fine military. So we're really focusing on the underpinnings of what is weakening America and its economy and energy based.
You know, that's really valid. We need to be energy independent. And 4 years ago, we were exporting oil.
Yep.
We need to be food independent. China owns farmland in almost half our states, you know, and we buy almost all our drugs from China. That's horrible. I mean, how can we depend on somebody we consider our major enemy? What's going on? Nothing is what's going on.
Right. And we're asking folks to come check us out at cv4a.org. CharlieVictor4Alpha.org is how I like to say to my military friends that are out there. But there are so many things that we do to engage in talking about veteran healthcare choice and what we need for a strong America. So it really involves doing more than just voting. Voting is very important. But if you're not linked into a grassroots organization that can speak the things to our elected officials, that let them know that their votes, that we're paying attention and that we support them when they do the right thing and oppose them when they do the wrong thing, voting's not enough. You have to be organized and you have to speak in a loud, clear voice. And that's what CVA provides to so many patriotic Americans and military veterans and their family members.
Yes, sir. As I told my students when I was teaching American government, there are probably 70 people you can vote for over a couple of year period. And you can't keep track of all of them, but you can keep track of some of them. And none of them can read your mind. So if you are not communicating fairly regularly, why should they pay attention to you? How could they pay attention to you? And the challenge is to, I think what you're talking about, establishing a relationship where you're able to bring some influence, particularly in those areas that are most important to you. Am I saying the kind of things you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing how much elected officials will listen when they know that you're part of something that's large. This year will be our 10th anniversary of Vets on the Hill. We're going to do it very large. We've taken volunteers in the past. We've lobbied congressmen directly. We've been backed up by hundreds of thousands of phone calls, electronic petitions. When you join an organization like Concerned Veterans for America, they see us as being unified in our message, our intent, our spirit. And being a part of that really gets their attention. Donors, they make a big difference, but the one thing that trumps money in politics is well-organized grassroots voting blocks. And that's what being part of Concerned Veterans for America can be all about for you.
So this is not something just listeners can do. They can get their friends involved. It can actually be productive. And we're talking about, I used to tell people, if you'll spend a half hour a week doing this kind of stuff, you can make a heck of a difference.
An amazing difference. Yes, sir.
And that's not really asking too much. I mean, we live in the currently, hopefully still, the finest country, freest country in the world. And shouldn't we be good stewards of it? Shouldn't we be taking responsibility for our country by taking action to keep it on track? If not us, then who?
Nobody else is coming. We are the cavalry.
Well put. One of the things that is a big discussion today, what the Congress is working on right now, is financial aid for Ukraine and for Israel. I certainly support Ukraine and support Israel, but Ukraine, I think that's something that the European nations should be the primary supporters for, not us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. There's finite resources for anybody, any individual, for any nation. There are a lot of people that I sympathize with and support them emotionally, but there's only so many resources I have. And taking care of my friends, my family, my church, those around me, some charitable organization. But if I were to give everything I have to every person that I sympathize with, I would basically bankrupt myself and couldn't help anybody. And so Ukraine falls kind of in that category where there's neighbors, people that are impacted, namely speaking, other European countries, of course, that the problem is closer to home, and yet they do a fraction of what we do, and they expect us to do that. So can be very sympathetic for Ukraine, but having our priorities as to how much and where we help, especially when we have NATO allies that aren't doing their fair share, it just has stopped making sense to the American public. It's why you saw initial support of Ukraine funding be very high, and now it's very low. And so Europe has to step up and take care of their problems that are closest to them. And America has to prioritize when and where it's going to help.
On the other hand, I'd like to see us more supportive of Israel, because they are truly maybe our most reliable ally in the world. And two, they're not asking for that much. I appreciate that too. On the other hand, you can only do what you can do. And I think that's your point here.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And we're very supportive of Israel's as well. If you think about the only Middle Eastern country out there that has a form of government similar to ours, is great on civil rights. You have Arab and Jewish citizens both that have complete voting rights within that country, which is the reverse is not true in the Middle East. They're obviously a great ally, and we've long helped them, and I think continuing to do so makes a whole lot of sense. It's in our keen national interest to do so. But being forced to pick between funding Israel and Ukraine, I'm very leery of tying that all into one package. I think those should be separate debates, separate votes. But the way sausage gets made in D.C. sometimes kind of turns your stomach, and you have to live with what they do.
Very well said. Russ, we're about out of time. Tell us again how listeners who'd like to learn more about Concerned Veterans for America, who'd like to plug in, how can they do that?
The very best way is to go to cv4a.org, Concerned Veterans, the number 4, A for America, cv4a.org. We have electronic petitions. We have ways that you can join our organization, volunteer from where you live. We have lots of volunteers who just simply track us on social media, send in electronic petitions, advocate our talking points. We've had folks we've never met that have contacted us, hey, can I go talk to my local congressman in my area about issue XYZ? And we're like, here you go. Here are the talking points. And they've gone down on their own and done that. It's made a huge impact. So cv4a.org is the best way to initially connect with us.
And you don't have to be a veteran. If you're a patriotic American, you're fully qualified. So, Concerned Veterans for America. Russ, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for what you have done and are doing. I'm glad that we're friends. I hope we can continue to work together, because we're sure on the same side. Thanks, Russ.
Colonel, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure every time.
Okay, this concludes the first hour of the show. We're going to start the second hour discussing race with Professor Andre Archie. Then we'll discuss the border and book with Gil and Skip. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups, do 35 good ones, and a few push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.